partial freeze in the budget?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. President Obama is readying a plan to freeze spending on some domestic programs. Polls have shown many Americans want more fiscal responsibility. The president will tell us in his State of the Union address tomorrow, discretionary spending on some programs will be frozen for 3 years and then rise only with inflation. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
So I understand there are some big exceptions to the spending freeze.
That's right. First of all, everything relating to security, so that's defense, homeland security, veterans, and foreign affairs. Also the big entitlement programs, that's Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. So what's subject to freeze or cuts is discretionary spending. We're talking about farm subsidies, education, energy, national parks, environmental protection, plus all of those congressional earmarks. All told, it saves about $250 billion. That is roughly 3% of the $9 trillion in deficit. That's we're expected to run up in the next decade.
So how much of a difference will this make?
Well, it may seem like a small slice of a big budget, but Jan Randolph at IHS Global Insight says it's what international lenders are looking for.
There's so many governments in the bond markets raising so much money. You know, it's incumbent on virtually every single Western government to bring in plans to restore public finances, bring them back to balance over the next few years. Once recovery's in the bag.
You know, and keep in mind, the administration's got some proposed tax credits for child care and job creation, student loan relief, but they're all in this year's budget, and this freeze starts next year.
Right. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Today, China and Taiwan started what could be historic trade talks. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong tells us about an economic thaw in this political rivalry.
Proponents say a trade deal could create a 250,000 jobs in Taiwan. Taiwanese insurance companies, banks, and auto parts makers would face lower tariffs and other barriers in the vast China market. Taiwan-based businessman Mark Foreman says the island territory needs the new business. Its longtime old customer isn't buying.
The American customer demand will probably never see the levels that it did prior to the almost implosion that we had last year. So I think it behooves Taiwan to have a lot more access to the Chinese market.
Beijing makes that argument, as does Taiwan's ruling party. But the Taiwanese opposition thinks the trade deal will create losers, like farmers who won't be able to compete. And as Taiwan opens its doors to China, economist Chen Liying wonders who Beijing will really send over.
China always will put some spies within their student group or whatever.
Trade deal foes are spooked about Beijing's true intentions. The talks are expected to last till May, at the very least. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Asian investors still seem nervous. Stocks there lost more than 2% today. South Korea reported weak economic growth. European stocks are off almost 1%. The British economy finally saw economic growth, but again, very little. Yesterday, the Dow gained 23 points, closing at 10,196. It looks like the mega merger of Ticketmaster and concert promoter Live Nation will go through. The Justice Department modified the deal and then said, okay, a federal court still has to sign off.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, offering cloud computing for businesses with solutions for managing the transition to the cloud while managing costs for customers at microsoft.com/cloud services. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, for 158 years, providing policyholders with solutions to help meet their financial goals at MassMutual.com.
In the football world, the talk is about the Saints-Colts Super Bowl and the college coach merry-go-round. Ethan Lindsay reports money has been trumping tradition.
Fans were shocked when head coach Pete Carroll announced he was leaving the University of Southern California. Soon after, USC lured Lane Kiffin to Los Angeles with a $4 million a year contract. Problem is, Kiffin was the head coach at the University of Tennessee, a job he'd held for just 14 months.
It was very hard on me, and it was a hard decision for us. I don't think there's another job I would have left for.
Tennessee replaced Kiffin with Louisiana Tech's head coach, Louisiana Tech, in turn, plucked its replacement from the Arizona coaching staff. And these coaching changes aren't just about the guys at the top. College coaches bring recruits, alumni donations, and ticket sales. So when a coach leaves, it can leave a program in shambles. Many in college football say the recent job merry-go-round represents a scary new trend.
We entered what I call the mercenary era, where you go out and get guys who are not familiar at all with your program but are very good at what they do.
Clay Travis is a college football writer living in Nashville. He says in 2008, Tennessee jumped on that coach-for-hire bandwagon, firing longtime coach and Tennessee native Phil Fulmer and replacing him with Kiffin, who had no ties to the state.
I think that the Lane Kiffin hiring will make a lot of athletic directors predisposed to at least a consideration of how does this coach fit our culture.
Travis says, take for example who Tennessee hired to replace Kiffin. His name's Derek Dooley. He's from the South and the son of Vince Dooley, the legendary Georgia football coach. At the USC bookstore in LA, Pete Carroll's picture is everywhere. But Carroll is now collecting a $7 million paycheck from the NFL's Seattle Seahawks. So having been bitten by the mercenary bug themselves, are USC fans worried about their new hire? Not one bit, says Skylar Smith, a USC grad student.
This was his dream job, and I don't think that this chance would have come again for him. For me, as a fan, I think it's a great choice because he's young.
Most of Smith's family went to the University of Tennessee, but she has no regrets about stealing their coach. And that may be exactly why the mercenary coach will continue to ply his trade for the foreseeable future. In Los Angeles, I'm Ethan Lindsay for Marketplace.
And finally, the Wall Street Journal reports some luxury resort hotels are now just calling themselves hotels. Apparently, companies don't want to be seen booking a resort. Oh, the bed sheets are still Egyptian cotton, but the PR departments are sleeping better. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.